You don't need special gadgets to be a hero. With unlimited 1.5% cash back on every purchase everywhere, the Capital One Quicksilver Card makes you the hero of every purchase. Whether it's headphones, a lounge chair, or even a well-deserved massage, whatever the Quicksilver purchase, you're the hero. No fighting bad guys, getting in epic car chases, or parachuting out of buildings required. Simple, isn't it? The Capital One Quicksilver Card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
When I found out I was going to be a parent, I immediately felt a lot of anxiety and worry. So I went on to BetterHelp to try to look for a therapist to help me with that.
My relationship with my family and with my boyfriend and with myself were suffering. I really needed help.
I was ruminating a lot. Really getting those thoughts out to a therapist and getting feedback was just life-changing.
If you're thinking of giving therapy a try, visit BetterHelp.com/stuff today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/stuff.
Welcome to Stuff You Should Know from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh Clark. There's Charles W. Chuck Bryant and Dinah.
Dinah the dinosaur.
And Jerry's over there.
That's Dino DNA.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, I did. That's good.
Man, that movie blew me away when I was, however old I was.
Oh, yeah, that's from the movie, wasn't it? I thought it was from a parody of the movie.
No, it's
yeah.
From Jurassic Park.
Yeah, that's like the educational video they show.
I just remember that first, like, it was amazing. When you saw that first shot of the dinosaurs, and you were like, because, you know, that was all brand new.
Yeah.
You take it for granted now.
Oh,
every,
man.
Like, crappy CG movie that's out today.
It was, like, one of the greatest things anybody's ever done
at
the time.
Great. I think they're re-releasing it, too, like a 3D.
Are they?
Yeah, the original.
Well, that has a lot to do with bootleggers. Chuck, we've talked about this before.
Twice.
Yeah.
So completes the circle.
We have, yeah. I think we kind of forged the circle.
It was already
like,
a circle.
It needs to be bigger.
Yeah.
Well, we did a How Moonshine Works episode, one of my all-time favorites.
Agreed.
If you haven't heard the How Moonshine Works episode, do yourself a favor.
Yeah.
There's some primo sound design from Jerry.
Agreed.
We end up in a still.
Yeah.
If you can believe it.
Yep.
And what was the other one that we did where we mentioned this too?
Prohibition.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is another good one, which is part of another circle, a tripart episode, prohibition, addiction, and what was the other one? Oh, rehab.
Yes.
Man, everything is so interconnected here.
It's all, the circle is getting smaller, my friend.
It's the tree of life.
The tree of life.
Okay, so what we're talking about is moonshining.
Yes.
Bootlegging.
I have moonshine at my desk right now.
Yeah, we discussed just drinking it while we were doing this, and we opted not to.
Yeah, because it's not 1957.
And right. We like to do things in one take these days.
Yeah, that's
other
true.
Than like 17.
Yeah. But yeah, I mentioned a fan sent us some moonshine.
Yep.
And the thank yous, one of the thank yous, we said hello and thanks.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, it's delicious.
Yes, it is. And specifically, one of the things we're talking about that we just kind of covered a little bit, and I think it was moonshine, was that this really amazing thing. I'm not into NASCAR.
I'm not either. I had a spell.
You did?
Yeah, like 1 year.
And then it just went away?
Yeah.
It is one of the world's biggest sports.
Oh, yeah.
Popular-wise.
Huge.
People love to see the cars go around in the circle.
Not always just in a circle.
I'm not. That's true.
At the road races.
That's true. And I'm not into NASCAR, as I said, but I have a tremendous amount of respect for the sport because it was directly created by moonshiners.
Yeah.
Bootleggers running moonshine.
Yeah.
Led, not, you know, indirectly.
Yeah, exactly.
They literally met and founded the National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing.
Yeah.
Like, that's where NASCAR came from.
It's pretty cool.
One of the preeminent owners, racers, and then owners, Junior Johnson,
yeah.
Did a year in jail for bootlegging.
Yeah, he's from Wilkes County, North Carolina, which was like one of the hotbeds of bootlegging.
Yeah.
And by no surprise, it is also North Carolina's like the center of NASCAR.
Yeah.
not a coincidence.
No, it's not.
No.
So let's talk about this whole thing. Like, what were people bootlegging for? I mean, like, I know it's kind of like, if you want it done right, do it yourself. But when it comes to making booze, like,
yeah,
there's a lot of really good booze out there. Why not just spend the money?
Well, this was happening in the rural South.
Okay.
A lot going on back then, on the heels of the Great Depression. Hit the South really hard.
Yeah.
Because there weren't factories to go to work to afterward or during.
And the mills were shut down. The mills were basically the economic engine of the South.
Yeah, so farming's drying up to a certain degree.
Yeah.
There's prohibition going on.
That's a big one. So it's basically prohibition and the Depression are the two big factors that led to the rise, right?
So we need to, well, even after prohibition, the South still had a lot of dry counties, and to this day still has dry counties.
It's crazy.
It is crazy. 2012.
Like 2000.
And there are dry counties.
Was it 2012 or 2011 when Georgia voted or let cities vote to repeal the blue law for
Sunday sales?
Like just this year, Georgia got Sunday sales.
There's like a Mars Curiosity rover on the planet Mars taking pictures of of us not buying beer on Sundays.
It's crazy.
It is crazy.
But yes, so even after prohibition gets repealed, a lot of southern counties were like, well, you know, you can't tell us what to do, Johnny Law. We're gonna stay dry. And a lot of bootleggers were like, okay, well, I can still sell to these counties.
And I happen to have one sweet ride.
Right.
I don't have a lot, but I got a sweet Ford with an ambulance engine in it.
Right.
And it goes really, really fast.
A Cadillac ambulance engine.
Yeah, that was one of the mods that they would do to make these things faster.
So you needed this car, not just to show off, but because if you were selling in a dry county, the federal government really couldn't have cared two bits of whether you were or not.
Yeah.
Most of the time, though, if you were smart at all, you weren't reporting these sales on your taxes.
Yeah, I read that had more to do with it than anything.
I would, yeah.
Was they didn't want to pay taxes. I mean, it had to do with prohibition and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But it was really like, you know what? We were making this stuff ourselves, selling it to people across county lines. Like, why should I give the federal government a piece of that?
Well, that not just whiskey making or moonshining.
Yeah.
But also the idea that you shouldn't be paying taxes on that predates the United States.
Oh, I'm sure.
Like the Whiskey Rebellion.
Yeah.
Was that actually came after the United States, but moonshining came before.
Yeah.
But the Whiskey Rebellion, one of the first things George Washington had to deal with was because of taxing corn liquor.
Yeah.
Which is, it's an American tradition.
It is. Don't tax our booze.
Yeah.
So all these factors add up to, either it's your family business and you're maybe 15, but you've been driving the truck on the farm since you were 8.
Yeah.
And the tractor. So you're like in the South, it was like, oh, you don't have a license yet. You know, we shouldn't let you behind the wheel of a car.
Right.
It was like, you know, are you old enough to reach the pedals?
Or do we have wood blocks?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like the kid in Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Oh, you didn't like that one, right?
No, I liked it.
Oh, okay.
That kid and then
he
also
had wood blocks on his feet.
Right, in Short Round from Temple of Doom.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The good Indiana Jones movie, or one of them.
Yeah, one of two. One of three.
Yeah,
the
I would
Crystal Skull's the fourth one, right?
Yeah, I would put that third in the list, though. I would go Raiders, then Last Crusade, then Temple of Doom, and then I don't even count the last one. So either you're in the family business, and they're like, this kid can drive, or you can drive, and some other family's like, hey, that, you know, that Clark kid, he can get on it in that Ford.
I sure can.
Let's get him to run the shine. And so all of a sudden you got a job.
Yeah.
That pays you dough.
But it's not just paying you dough. It's also extremely thrilling.
Yeah, and a lot of bragging rights going on when you're out running cops. It's like the Dukes of Hazzard.
Yeah.
Can we just go ahead and say it?
Yeah, it is.
I mean, you can't read this article without thinking, Bo and Luke Duke.
You know what's crazy is not once did I think of
really?
Bo and Luke Duke. Yeah.
Oh, man, the whole time I was like, this is the Dukes of Hazzard.
Were they moonshiners?
No.
Oh.
But it was the same thing, like juicing up your car, beefing up the suspension and the engine so you can outrun the local cops.
Yeah.
And, you know all the back roads. All right. I don't want to give away too much.
Okay. So we've got the Depression thing and unemployment in the South. And then we also have Prohibition. And these things are coming together. And so all of a sudden you've got 14-year-olds who know how to operate cars outrunning cops.
And revenuers.
Right, the revenuer. So there was a revenuer named John Carter, and he became a great source.
Of Mars? No?
Mm-mm.
Oh, okay.
Different John Carter.
Gotcha.
He became a great source from the law's side.
Uh-huh.
He was one of the guys chasing these people. And he was the source for that 14-year-old quote about how, like, by the time these kids are 14, not starting when they're 14, they're driving.
Yeah.
By the time they're 14, he said they could outlaw any lawman he knew. And he was one of the lawmen.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so one of the ways they did it was, like you said, was by modifying stock cars.
Yeah.
Right? Like taking a Ford coupe and putting a Cadillac ambulance engine in it.
That'll do it.
Switching, you know, engines between makes.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, apparently Chevy engines are easier to modify than Fords. So you might have a Ford car with the Chevy engine.
Yeah.
And
they'd say that if you see it go to one of these auto shows today, some of these old 20s and 30s Fords will still have Chevy engines in them.
Well, that's where hot rods came from, too. Not just NASCAR, but hot rods.
Oh, yeah?
And, like, that whole hot rod thing in the California in the 60s?
Uh-huh.
Straight out of bootlegging moonshine whiskey cars. Yeah.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So the revenuers, I don't think we specified, they were the tax guys.
Yeah.
Who came to collect, and they were feds.
The alcohol tax unit.
Yeah, like they were sending these guys in from like New Jersey and New York to these rural southern towns, and Bo and Luke were like, bring it on.
Yeah.
You don't know these roads like I know them, pal.
You don't know these roads.
Yeah.
You don't know your car like I know my car.
Sure.
Because I'm the one who modified it
in
all these crazy ways. I added the turbocharger.
Yeah.
I brushed out the piston hole cylinder.
Is that the piston hole?
Cylinder.
Is that a common method, brushing the cylinder?
I believe so.
Okay. They would modify, they would built in custom switches where you could turn off your brake lights or your tail lights or both.
That was a Clay Call.
Was he the first dude to do that?
Who was a buddy of Junior Johnson's.
Uh-huh.
He did that.
So what happens is you're flying down the road behind one of these cars at night, and let's say the taillights completely go out, and they can pull in a little, you know, like side dirt road.
Right.
Or you're following them during the daytime, and they're banking on a corner, and they're hitting the brakes, and the cop doesn't realize that.
Yeah.
So he goes flying into the corner, and then he smashes into something. It's pretty smart.
Yeah.
It's so basic, though.
You also need really, really good shocks and struts.
Yeah.
And the reason why is because the best thing to do is to not have to try to outrun the cops and just drive right past them and wave like you're just a law-abiding citizen.
Like I don't have 500 pounds of liquor in my trunk.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's the whole point of the shocks and struts. And also so when you do have to outrun them, your car's not just bottoming out on every divot.
Yeah, that's true.
And if you do get pulled over, another early line of defense was false bottom trunks.
Yeah.
Hidden cargo panels.
Yeah.
Basically just places you could stash liquor.
That's true. But who wrote this? Was this the Grabster?
No. This was Jamie Page Deaton.
Oh. JPD? as JPD points out, cops would eventually get wise to all these things as well. And then it came down to what would lead to NASCAR, which is, I can drive better than you.
Yes.
Period.
So that's like when the banjo music would start.
Exactly.
When the cop turned on the sirens.
Right. And like, I know all your tricks, but now the race is on.
Right. So you've got these local roads that are often very, what is it, Thunder Road in North Georgia?
I don't know.
There's a road called Thunder Road in North Georgia. And I think Bob Mitchum was in a movie about it or something back in the day.
Really?
Called Thunder Road, I think. But anyway, it's like a lot of people died, especially revenuers, because they didn't know like the curves. It was particularly dangerous. But those moonshine boys like knew exactly what they were doing and could take these curves. Most of them. A lot of moonshine runners died.
Sure.
In their own cars on their own roads, just going too fast, too far, too hard.
Yeah.
But if you were a revenuer, you're at a greater disadvantage because also you didn't know where to double back and hide out.
Yeah.
And there was a move that was created by Junior Johnson called Bootlegger's Turn, which we've all seen. It's where the car goes one direction, and then all of a sudden it does a 180, straightens out, and drives back the other direction before the car that's chasing it can turn around.
Yeah.
Bootlegger's Turn. I never knew that.
Yeah, Junior Johnson patented that one. And also, later on would go on to, I wouldn't say invent, I guess discover the drafting, which if you don't know what drafting is in car racing, it's when, and you can experience this, it's very dangerous. You don't want to try this, but if you get behind like a big 18-wheeler on the highway and you're close enough, it often feels like you don't have to hit the gas as hard. It's because you don't.
You're being sucked up into the wind behind it and carried along, right?
It breaks the draft, and essentially you're in a little vacuum getting right up on the car behind you. Mm-hmm. And in 1960, I think, at the Daytona 500, Junior Johnson realized this by accident on a practice lap and apparently had an inferior car to the rest of the cars and won the race based on that technique. And then everyone was like, what's Junior doing? We got to do it too.
Right.
Let's name it. So they named it drafting.
That's weird. No, I guess drafting makes sense.
It does now, but is that just because we know what it's called?
No, it's like a draft.
Yeah, like, I guess you're right.
Give me my shawl. There's a draft. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Hey, everybody. Chuck here. Are you thirsty? Well, before you take a sip, have you stopped to think about what's in your water? Many conventional bottled waters contain PFAS, harmful substances known as forever chemicals.
Yeah, but you can drink water as clean as nature intended with Richard's Rainwater.
That's right. Richard's Rainwater collects 100% pure, refreshing drops of rain. Yes, it really is rain. Richard's Rainwater is caught clean before it hits the ground or becomes polluted with pesticides and contaminants that are commonly found in groundwater.
And since rain is naturally pure, there's no need for harsh chemicals or additives. That means Richard's Rainwater contains no added fluoride, no chlorine, no forever chemicals, no microplastics, no nothing. Just pure drops of rain.
That's right. Enjoy the smooth, clean taste of Richard's still rainwater and the long-lasting cold pressured bubbles of Richard's sparkling rainwater, perfect for sipping or mixing into your favorite cocktail. Just visit richardsrainwater.com to find a retailer near you. Enjoy pure, refreshing rainwater. Sip the sky. Hey, everybody. It's halftime and the scoreboard is not looking good. You're feeling low and not sure you can pull out a win. And that's when you have to dig deep, lift your head up, and say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists and take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
That's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies.
That's right. You can play on countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball, and you can charge other players rent for your iconic properties.
Plus, you can even work with your friends to crack open community chests in tournaments to get rewards and climb the leaderboard.
So get back out there, put on your game face, and download Monopoly Go, now free on the App Store or Google Play. All right, Junior Johnson.
Junior Johnson.
Was pardoned, too, by Ronald Reagan.
1986.
Yeah, because you said he got arrested for not actually bootlegging, but just for going to the still one night, right?
And he was caught at his daddy's still by John Carter himself. That's what, yeah. When your father has a still in the woods.
He's daddy.
That's daddy. he was caught at his daddy's still by John Carter. And he did 11 months, 3 days in prison in North Carolina. No, I'm sorry.
In Ohio.
In Chillicothe, Ohio.
Yeah.
Or Chillicothe, Ohio. But he was caught in North Carolina. But apparently bootleggers and whiskey runners had this reputation of being so honest that when they were caught, as legend tells, when they were caught and sentenced, the judge would frequently let them leave and just go home and be told when to meet the prison bus, like meet the prison bus March 21st. And when the prison bus showed up, like at that stop,
yeah,
the bootlegger would be sitting there waiting for the bus to take it to take him to prison.
Wow.
They were known to be that
honest?
Yeah.
Despite their illegalities.
Yeah. Well, that was, I think, one of the reasons why Tom Wolfe called the North Carolina, Wilkes County specifically, bootleggers the last American heroes. Because they were kind of, I mean, they were against the law.
Yeah.
And they would, like, kill revenuers.
Yeah.
But they were also very honest in their dealing
right.
when they were caught.
Didn't you point out there was a movie coming out about this?
Yeah, there's a movie called Lawless, and it's based on a book called The Wettest County in the World.
Yeah, I saw the original name of the movie up until this year was Wettest County.
Yeah.
Which I have to admit is pretty bad.
No, it's got to be Wettest County in the World, or The Wettest County in the World. Yeah. And it's about a county in Virginia. I can't remember which one. And they changed the name to Lawless, and Nick Cave wrote the script.
Awesome.
He is awesome in like every way.
Yeah.
And Guy Pearce is in it. He plays the Treasury revenue guy.
That's Nick Cave with a V, by the way, not Nick Cage.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nick Cave.
Point that out.
Of Bad Seeds fame.
Yeah, exactly. And Shia LaBeouf, to bring it full circle, from Crystal Skulls.
Yeah.
He's in it.
I don't think we should bring things full circle to the Kingdom of the Crystal Skulls.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, that's two consecutive episodes where it just came up organically.
Yeah.
Strange. But yeah, Lawless is coming out this month.
Oh, really?
We're recording this, the 29th, I believe.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Can't wait. Because I was thinking, I think I told you this morning when I was reading this, I was like, man, why haven't they made a movie about this?
Well, my friend, they have.
Okay. Well, I'm looking forward to it. All right, so where are we? World War II?
Yeah. Why isn't this still going on? And by the way, this article is not correct. It said that they were running whiskey well into the 70s. Clay Call, who's Junior Johnson's BFF forever.
Yeah.
He was doing it in the 80s.
Really?
Into the 80s, yeah. And it was the rise of chicken farming, like mega chicken processing plants, that converted all of these former corn liquor distillers into chicken farmers because it was just more lucrative. And they're like, well, hell, I'll raise chickens then.
Interesting.
But he was into the 80s. He said that one of his cars, an old New Yorker from the 60s, that he said... The writer of this Hot Rod magazine article called something that a doctor or a lawyer would drive.
Right.
But it was like one of his prized possessions because that thing would just haul too.
Oh, yeah.
He modified it. He said that there were bullet holes in it from the 80s. So he was like real deal seriously doing this and into the 80s because, I mean, his car got bullet holes in the 1980s from bootlegging.
When was Smokey and the Bandit? That was 70s.
Yeah. But he just couldn't drive 55.
No, they were smuggling beer.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, Coors. That was what they were doing. Remember the big truck?
I didn't know that.
It's full of Coors beer.
Illegal Coors beer?
Yeah, back then Coors was only out west, and they wanted some in Georgia.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So they sent Smokey to Texarkana and Jerry Reed to get the truckload of Coors beer to bring it back in like 24 hours or something. Yeah. Okay, so flash forward a bit, in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, I guess not forward, we're kind of right there in the middle, there wasn't a lot going on entertainment-wise in the rural South.
Right.
Didn't have movie theater sometimes, didn't have a mall, didn't have a lot to do. So they would clear out fields and make dirt track racetracks.
Well, farmers would.
Yeah.
And make some cash off of it.
Yeah, cause sort of like Field of Dreams, except they would build a racetrack. Right. You know, if you build it, they will come.
Right.
And
it was like Days of Thunder, except in a farm field.
And dirt track was huge. I mean, it's still big. People still race on dirt tracks.
Yeah.
But Junior Johnson apparently said that he never got on pavement when he was bootlegging. He's like, you'd have a 10-to-1 better odds of losing the cops on a dirt road. Because these cops, I mean, not only did they not know the roads in the South, they were not used to sliding around on dirt roads.
Sure.
And these guys are just like, you know, professional drifters.
Right.
You know, not
Tokyo drifters.
Yeah, Tokyo drifters, not hobo drifters.
Right.
So, all right, while this is going on, you've got these southern towns and farmers building these dirt tracks, making a little scratch.
But also kind of making a name for car racing.
Sure.
Like, this is kind of a new thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the Indy was around and all that, but it wasn't kind of big in the South, I don't think.
Was it? When did that start?
Formula One racing, I should say. That was the earliest auto racing, was Formula One, I believe. Like 1900, maybe?
Really?
Or they were racing like Mercedes and stuff like that in Europe.
Yeah. But
stock car racing was very much new to the South.
Well, it was. And then, you know, eventually bootlegging dried up and these people realized, you know what? In 1947, they got together in Daytona, Florida, and said, let's make this like a legit thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we think there's money to be made here.
Yeah.
You guys can drive really fast. These stock cars aren't that much money, because back then it was stock car racing. Like, that was the whole point, was we want to have the fans identify with these people
right.
by driving a car just like they could drive.
Yeah, it was all on the driver.
Yeah.
Because it was like you weren't allowed to modify, and any modifications you could do were very slight, and they were really heavily regulated, and it was all about your driving skills.
Yeah.
And they did decide to go that route because it was, like you said, a common bond between the fans and the driver.
Yeah.
You know? Like,
well, and it still
we're both driving the same car.
Yeah. I mean, that brand loyalty is still huge.
Yeah.
You know, the Chevy guys and the Ford guys, like, they stick with the car more so than the driver, even.
Yeah.
Which is pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Of course, now they're much more modified, but back in the day, it was called strictly stock, meaning mm-hmm. it, you know.
Is that what the SS means on some cars?
I don't know.
I wonder. Oh, you haven't seen that?
I don't think so.
Yeah, you have. There's like sometimes like it'll be like a normal car,
uh-huh.
like a Monte Carlo, but it'll say SS or something next to it.
Oh, maybe. I don't know. We'll have to look into that.
Or maybe it means like super stock.
No, might be strictly stock.
Or it means super sweet.
But I did find it interesting, though, at the beginning of NASCAR in 1948, I read this other article where they said that fans didn't want, like, it was sort of a slap in the face to have these new cars out there being beat up because it was post-World War II and it was kind of wasteful to do something like that. So that's why they got these stock cars, and like a lot of dudes rode in the early days would actually rent cars to race, like a car rental.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they would get a rental car.
And that's where thrifty car rental came from.
Exactly. And it wasn't until later on that they, like 1952, I think, were when roll bars were mandated. And then, you know, gradually over the years, they became more and more modified. Although they're modified, but it's still a regular car. It's not like digital paddle shifters,
right?
Like an Indy car. Like you could get in a NASCAR car, mm-hmm. and theoretically you could drive it.
Not well.
No, I mean, be surprised.
Well, you know, Junior Johnson said that it was a letdown to go from bootlegging to NASCAR.
Oh, really?
He said, quote, "On the racetrack, you're a running to beat someone. Out on the highway, you're a running for your life."
Awesome. He is 81 years old now.
Yeah.
And I just read that he is selling his mansion and downsizing, and he sells moonshine, Midnight Moon.
Oh, is that his?
Yeah, he can sell it. Like, he can buy it on the web.
Yeah.
And he also sells ham and pork rinds. Mm.
I would eat those.
I would too. Hey, everybody. Chuck here. Are you thirsty? Well, before you take a sip, have you stopped to think about what's in your water? Many conventional bottled waters contain PFAS, harmful substances known as forever chemicals.
Yeah, but you can drink water as clean as nature intended with Richard's Rainwater.
That's right. Richard's Rainwater collects 100% pure, refreshing drops of rain. Yes, it really is rain. Richard's Rainwater is caught clean before it hits the ground or becomes polluted with pesticides and contaminants that are commonly found in groundwater.
And since rain is naturally pure, there's no need for harsh chemicals or additives. That means Richard's Rainwater contains no added fluoride, no chlorine, no forever chemicals, no microplastics, no nothing. Just pure drops of rain.
That's right. Enjoy the smooth, clean taste of Richard's still rainwater and the long-lasting cold pressured bubbles of Richard's sparkling rainwater, perfect for sipping or mixing into your favorite cocktail. Just visit richardsrainwater.com to find a retailer near you. Enjoy pure, refreshing rainwater. Sip the sky. Hey, everybody. It's halftime and the scoreboard is not looking good. You're feeling low and not sure you can pull out a win. And that's when you have to dig deep, lift your head up, and say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists and take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
That's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies.
That's right. You can play on countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball, and you can charge other players rent for your iconic properties.
Plus, you can even work with your friends to crack open community chests in tournaments to get rewards and climb the leaderboard.
So get back out there, put on your game face, and download Monopoly Go, now free on the App Store or Google Play.
Any other movies you got?
No.
I got two. Big Bad Mama, bootlegging movie.
Yeah.
She takes over the bootlegging business after her husband dies.
Uh-huh.
And then there's a small part, but it's one of my all-time favorite movies. Paper Moon.
I thought that was your favorite movie.
In there. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But it has a small moonshining part, bootlegging part.
And I think the movie, did you ever see Thunderbolt and Lightfoot?
No.
I think that had something to do with bootlegging. I might be wrong.
What about Dirty Larry, Crazy Mary? Was that bootlegging?
I don't know. But Clint Eastwood was in Thunderbolt and Lightfoot. And, it wasn't about moonshine. Sorry.
Okay.
But it was about driving really fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so. Blue Lagoon?
No. That was about sex.
If you want to learn more about whiskey cars, you can type in whiskey cars with an E to the search bar at howstuffworks.com. I would also strongly urge you to listen to our Moonshine podcast or Prohibition podcast.
Good ones.
Yeah, and there's articles on the site for those, too, so you can type those in the search bar and see what comes up. I said search bar, which means it's time for listener mail. Chuck.
Yes.
We should tell everybody about something very special and dear to our hearts, New York City.
That's right. We are going to Comic-Con, and we will be doing a live podcast on Friday, October 12th.
Yeah.
At Comic-Con at the Javits Center.
It's like our new thing. We did San Diego, now we're doing New York.
That's right.
Next up, Albuquerque.
So if you are going to Comic-Con, you should come by and see that. But after Comic-Con, we have one of our famous to us, All-Star Trivia Nights.
Right. Where is it going to be? The Cutting Room?
It is at the grand reopening of the Cutting Room in the Flatiron District, which is, what's the address?
It is 44 East 32nd Street in New York, and it's in the Flatiron, you said?
Yep. Awesome. And doors open at 7:30, trivia goes down at 8:30.
And what is first come, first serve, right?
Free, first come, first serve. We will have a bar there that you can buy drinks.
Yeah, you can buy us drinks.
That's right. That
we're
going
to just basically be having a really good time. If you're not familiar with our trivia nights, like, just come out and check it out. It'll be worth your while.
Absolutely. And stay tuned for info on Facebook and Twitter about the makeup of the All-Star team. We are filling that out as we speak. But we will have some special guests that you will want to meet.
Yeah, and at the very least, you can come take on me and Chuck, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It's just fun.
So what is that? That's Friday, October 12th, right?
Yep.
The panel's at when?
The panel is at, I believe, 6:45.
Okay, and then we're going to be at the Cutting Room starting at 8:30.
Trivia starts at 8:30, doors at 7:30. Be there, be square.
You are good at this.
Thank you.
All right, is it time for listener mail?
Yep. I'm going to call this Shark Attack.
Man, I have to say, Chuck, you have to go on our Twitter account. You are getting kudos all over the place for this
Shark Diaries. Oh, for Shark Diaries?
Man,
nice.
People love that.
Hey, kudos to all the actors.
Yes.
All right, Shark Attack. I just listened to your Shark Attack podcast and was thinking about my boyfriend. You might be interested in his happy ending of his own shark attack.
Okay.
Kevin is his name. He's from South Africa. And he was surfing in front of his house one day when he was 16, when out of nowhere, a great white came up and chomped down on his leg. Shark disappeared, and the one friend he was with helped him back to shore, which was quite a ways, and then went off to the hospital. The doctor patching him up said he was really lucky. As best they can figure, the top of the jaw of the shark went into the leg, while the bottom never made it through the surfboard, which is kind of like that one story we talked about, surfboard saving the life. The doctor thought maybe the shark bit him in such a way where the fin of his surfboard hit that soft part under your tongue. You know that part?
Oh, that'd be really terrible to write down on.
And hurt the shark, so it swam away. After listening to the podcast, maybe it was just a test bite, though, and the shark didn't have any follow-through. Now that we're complaining, of course. Anyway, he left with a couple of hundred stitches and was back surfing 6 weeks later. I'm attaching a picture of his leg. I'm sorry that it's sideways.
Crazy.
And I did look, and it was the dude's leg that had big shark teeth in it.
I didn't see that one. I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, it was good. She said one more thing. We were talking about it just a few weeks ago, and I asked him if he punched the shark or anything like that. I had a zoo books on shark when I was little, and I always thought I'd for sure punch a shark. He said it was pretty much the last thing on his mind, which is kind of what I was thinking. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I love the podcast, and that is from Bethany. And Kevin is the boyfriend.
Awesome.
The surfer surfing out in front of his house. That must suck.
Yeah, congratulations on staying alive.
Yes.
Kevin, right?
Yep.
And thanks for the story, Bethany. If you have a story for us, especially one about how your granddaddy or pappy or whoever was a bootlegger, a moonshiner, something like that.
Sure.
You can send us stuff via Twitter at SYSK Podcast. And when I say at, that means the at symbol. At ampersand.
People know that.
No, ampersand is the and sign. So at symbol, SYSK Podcast, all one word. You can go to facebook.com/stuffyoushouldknow, or you can send us an email to stuffpodcast@discovery.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.
Hey, everybody, are you thirsty? Well, sip on pure, refreshing Richard's Rainwater. Yes, it's really rain, caught clean before it hits the ground. Rain is naturally pure, so there's no need for harsh chemicals or additives. Richard's Rainwater contains no chlorine, no forever chemicals, no microplastics, no nothing. Enjoy the smooth, clean taste of Richard's still rainwater or the long-lasting and cold-pressured bubbles of Richard's sparkling rainwater. Visit richardsrainwater.com to find a retailer near you. That's richardsrainwater.com. Sip the sky. The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. But you know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line, thanks to Visible. It's true. So switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com.
Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit visible.com.